Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can come together as your church in freedom. We pray that you would feed us on your word and that our hearts would be softened to receive the words that you're speaking to each one of us this morning. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Saviour. Amen. Well, as Rachel said earlier on this morning, we're going to be talking about hope. And for those of you that might not have seen me before, I'm Zhuzha, one of the licensed lay readers here at Christ the Servant King. And we're doing a sermon series that is based on the whole life of Christ. And this morning, it's about hope. So the expectations of hope in our everyday life that can range from just hoping that it won't rain when you put the washing out to hoping for your salvation in eternity. We are in, as many of you will know, football season. So whatever the weather, people will be going and Sunday mornings to watch a football match or to take part in football matches, either running around the pitch or there'll be people on the sidelines hoping for a win. And as popular as football is to the people of Britain, it's not the most popular event. And it might surprise you to know that more people will be getting ready on Sunday mornings to go and visit the retail park or shopping centre in the hope of making a purchase. So you are truly, truly a special people because you have chosen the best thing to come and to praise and to worship your Heavenly Father, because this will have a lasting impact on your life. Whatever you buy in the shops or whatever win a team might have, that won't affect your life, your eternity. Coming here, listening to messages, listening to God's words, those things will have an eternal effect. But we know, I know, maybe some of you have experienced that not everybody believes, and therefore we are open and susceptible to ridicule and mockery. I remember that when I gave myself to the Lord and received Jesus as my Saviour, it was a real transition from going to church as a young child to actually then making the difference to receiving Jesus as my personal Saviour. But I was so full of it. I was so excited. I was radiating Jesus. And I wanted everybody to know about it. I didn't want to talk about anything else, didn't want to go anywhere else. It was all about Jesus. And when I went to see my dad one time, he said to me, "Zhuzha, you need to calm this down, because people will think that you're a crackpot." So if people think I'm a crackpot, I'll be a crackpot for God. But in our reading today, we heard about scoffers. It's not a word that we tend to use these days, is it? Scoffers, those that mock, those that ridicule. But in the reading it said, "Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires." People say that faith is a prop and that there is no God, that when you die, that's the end. But we know that that's not what the Bible teaches us in the reading we heard today, that Jesus will return. In the songs that we've been singing this morning in our worship time, it's about the return of Jesus. But society has eroded that place that God's word has in our lives. And I can tell you this, that while society continues to erode the presence of God and the meaningfulness of God in our lives, that the devil will be laughing all the way to hell as people die without receiving Jesus as their personal saviour. And people will continue to mock us. And that's something that if we truly believe in Jesus, we have to be prepared for. Because in 1 Thessalonians 5:2 it states, "You are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." And as Christians, we're asked to be ready for when that happens. Now, we all hope for good things to happen in our lives, don't we? Whether it's when you meet somebody and you fall in love and you hope to get married, some married couples hope to start a family, you hope to go on holiday, hope to buy a new house, hope to get a new car, hope that the kids pass their exams, hope that you pass your exams. There's all sorts of things that we hope for, aren't there? But the word that we use, hope, in everyday language is really more akin to wishing or wishful thinking, because there's a difference in the way that the Bible uses hope. The hope in Christ of spending eternity in his presence, that's not just wishful thinking. That's a certainty. If you've made Jesus your saviour, that is a certainty. Hope in Christ is a confident expectation. It's not just simply a positive attitude. It's much more, because it's based on the promises of God, on his word. Generally, most of us hope to live to around 80 and beyond. But that's not a certainty. The people that mock faith think that they have all the time in the world to make that decision on whether to believe this God thing or not. I remember once that not too long ago that I was at my mum's house, and my great uncle Walter had been visiting, and he was well into his 80s. And he, when he was very young, had an illness that left him mentally challenged. So he was standing in the doorway at my mum's house, and he was getting ready to go home. He'd had his lunch there with mum and the family. And he was a man of very, very few words. If you asked him how he was, he would always say, "Fair to middling." And that was probably all you would get out of him for the whole entirety of his visit. But he stood in the doorway, and I knew he was getting on in years. And I looked into his eyes, and I said, "Uncle Walter, do you know Jesus loves you?" And he said, "Yes, Yuja, I do." And I felt such a peace of knowing that I was certain and he was certain. And it wasn't one of those situations where I've been with relatives before and I've said to them, "When Jesus comes, say yes." Because I haven't been sure of whether they've already had that conversation. Many people put off that decision. And we need to do a better job of speaking to people about that hope. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life to the full." Would someone seeing you or me, would they think we're living life to the full? Ask yourself, do you believe that you are living your life to the full, the way that Jesus intended it? When others look at us, do they see something that's different and think, "I want some of that"? Why have they got so much peace? Why have they got so much joy? And as I said, people put off making that decision to receive Jesus as Saviour for all sorts of reasons, believing that they've got plenty of time to make that decision. But a word of caution: when the thief's in the house, it's too late to make that decision. That decision was one that I was not prepared to risk. And from personal experience, I can tell you that in my 20s, I was living a promiscuous life, and I was drinking and going out clubbing and basically just trying to drown out the world. And I thought that this was the best way to do that. But sin doesn't bring lasting contentment. It won't bring anything good, because sin desires more sin. It is unquenchable. Its appetite can never be satisfied, and it leads to self-destruction. Eventually, in my situation, I was faced with surgeons telling me that I needed major surgery and that I could die, and I needed to get to hospital within 2 weeks. And that was a really sharp, difficult message to hear. I actually looked behind me and said, "Who are you talking to?" And he said, "You." So I wasn't prepared to risk leaving that decision any longer. I wanted to make Jesus my Saviour and to live my life on fire for him. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians that Christ has accepted us through grace, so we don't have to live under condemnation of sin, and I am so thankful for that. Our whole lives ought to be an example of God's love and peace towards each other, and that's what this whole series is about: enriching everyday discipleship. If you know that Jesus died for your sins, that he was resurrected so that your relationship with Jesus could be restored, then you don't have to worry. You should live every day in a confident expectation of his return. It won't always be easy. And there's no point me standing here pretending that our lives are wonderful, they're all rosy, because we know the reality is that we have to face life's challenges. Things come along in life, don't they, to challenge our faith, to rock our confidence, to question that relationship with God. But we have the confident expectation that he is our loving Father. We should be excited, because when we think about the return of Jesus, and we never know when that's going to be, Revelation tells us in 21 verses 1 and 4, "There will be a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, no longer any sea. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. All the order of old things has passed away." And since we know this, the question that was asked in our reading today was, what kind of people ought we to be? That's 2 Peter 3:11. And for a moment, I'd like you to just take a minute to think about that for yourself. What kind of person ought you to be? If the BBC or Sky News announced that Jesus was coming back next weekend, would you do anything differently? Would you carry on living your life as you are now? Just like in the days of Noah, when Noah warned the people around him about the great flood, when they mocked and they ridiculed him. They carried on living their lives. They were buying and selling. That was until the rain came. The thief was in the house when they were being dragged away by those floodwaters. I do wonder whether they regretted not listening to Noah. Those people did ridicule him. But the truth is that we do know from God's word that Jesus will return. All the prophecies that have already been given and that were given, so many of them, hundreds of them, have come into effect. These are the ones yet to come. Now, I attend one of the church small groups. It's a group called SALT, Serving and Learning Together. And we meet on Tuesday evenings at 7:30. And a few weeks ago, I posed that very question to the group. What would we do differently if Jesus was coming back soon? It's a difficult question, isn't it, to think about? For me, I wouldn't bother going to work tomorrow. I'd be visiting my family, each one of them, and wanting to know if they'd accepted Jesus. I'd want that assurance as best as I could. And the friends and the family and the people around you, I'm sure you'd all be feeling the same way, that you'd want to try and make the most of that time. And for me, that's quite a stark thing to think about. If I would be different, then what am I doing with my life now? What are you doing with your lives now? The truth is that Jesus will return. It might be next weekend. It might be today. We just don't know. And Luke 12 tells us that if the master of the house had known the hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. Therefore, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, a lot of people expect the world to end. There's loads of movies about apocalypse and the end of the earth and all of these sorts of things. And if you go on the internet and YouTube, you can see these bunkers that people can buy and invest in. And loads of people spend thousands of pounds on these bunkers that are underground, that they kit out with all the mod cons, generators to make sure that they've got electricity, water and canned food so that they can last however long it will last, all in the hope that if the apocalypse comes, that they would be able to survive. Now, if we've accepted Jesus, we don't need any bunker. We don't need to worry about reserves, because God's got it all covered. You just need to trust and believe that that is his promise to us, that his Holy Spirit will be with us. God's Holy Spirit prompts people all the time to receive Jesus. That's the only sin that God can't forgive, if people have not received Jesus, not responded to those promptings of the Holy Spirit. So I would encourage anybody, if you haven't made that decision, now is always the time. In summarizing, I wanted to just talk about a dream that I had very briefly. It was very significant, and the pictures that I saw were so clear. They are imprinted in my mind, and I won't go into all of the details. But there was a point where I heard God calling my name, Zhuzha, and I answered, "Yes, Lord." And I heard the command, "Tell my people their hope is in Christ." And that's the message that I'm bringing to you today. Your hope is in Christ. Maybe God's prompted you in some way, in your prayer time, in dreams, by somebody speaking to you about what his plans and purposes are for you. If we take Jesus as our Saviour, we know that he puts a cloak around us that says child of God, a cloak of righteousness. So we don't have to feel condemned. We don't have to feel like we're worthless, because we can stand in the confidence of knowing that we are a child of the living God and he loves us abundantly. If you've accepted Jesus as your Saviour, you are set free for a future of hope, of joy, and of peace. And as I said, it's not going to be easy. We will have struggles in life. We will have difficulties to overcome. But we need to walk in the hope that we have in Jesus' return, in our salvation, a whole life purpose of living eternity in the Lord's presence. And a final point that I'd like to share with you. I recently returned, actually it was a week ago, from my holiday in Florida. And on the journey back to the airport in America, we were crossing this huge intersection. It's one of these massive ones that you see on the TV sometimes. Each side, there were 5 lanes. So that's 10 lanes on one direction, and then you've got 10 the other, 10 the other, and 10 the other. Massive, massive intersection, as you see in America. And at the junction, as we were waiting for the lights to change, I saw a black man, and I know he was black because I could see these little parts of legs sticking out underneath some shorts. I couldn't see the rest of his body, because he was covered, he couldn't have been very big, he was covered entirely with a plaque that he was holding, so I couldn't see any other part of his body at all. And there was writing on it, and I remember reading the words that included, make the decision to receive Jesus, the Lamb of God. How amazing is that? That not only has somebody taken Saturday afternoon not to go to football, not to hang out with friends, not to go shopping, but to stand on a busy intersection with a placard telling people about the hope of Jesus. So God might have spoken to you, like he did with me in the dream, like that guy that held up the placard. He's spoken to you. And you know that. You know what he's spoken to you. You know your life's purpose. So until Jesus returns, let us be about his business. Let us give ourselves entirely to him. Amen.